We have a great speaker with us today. He comes every now and again and delivers messages that challenge us, strengthen us, provoke us, but they're never, ever boring. John Bastian, would you come, please?
Thanks, David. It's really wonderful to be in the presence of Almighty God. And it is awesome. It doesn't matter what your problems are. I want to tell you, the God we serve is able. He's able and he's willing. And we just need to flick the switch on. If you would trust in the Lord, he will hear your cry. He will answer. And he'll do stupendous miracles for those who believe. I'm here this morning to challenge you. Because there was a time when a man was sitting down at a place called the Pool of Bethesda. He'd been sitting there for 38 years. He was crippled. And one day a stranger walked up to him and said, "Do you want to be made whole?" Folks, this morning I am here to serve out the same challenge of Jesus Christ to you people. Do you want a miracle this morning? Do you want a touch of the hand of Almighty God? Look, folks, he's here. Will you reach out, put your confidence in him, see what he can do for you? Because he said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm so glad he doesn't qualify who the person is. He says whoever, doesn't matter which end of the pendulum you're swinging at this moment, he is here to hear you, answer you. And my question to you is, do you want your miracle from the Lord? If you're looking to any other human resources, forget about it, because man will fail you. Psalm 118 verse 8, it says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man." Folks, I want to tell you, when people offer you no hope, there is hope in Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. You see our needs. You know our hearts. We're here stripping ourselves in your presence that you might look deep into our lives. Oh, Spirit of God, speak to thy people. Anoint my lips, Lord. Open the hearts of thy children. And grant us divine deliverance in every situation we face. Please hear us this morning. Glorify yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, while we're about that, I would just give you a little psalm that I want you all to look at and keep meditating upon it even while I speak the word of God to you, because it's been such an encouragement to me. If you got your Bibles, would you please look up Psalm 66 verse 20. As David was asking me, do you have overheads? I'm sorry, I don't have overheads, because I'm one of these preachers who's been out in the outback where they disconnect my electricity, so I can't speak with the mic. So you'll hear me bellowing as hard as I can. And you'll find me just quoting ad lib, because the Spirit of God is there. And we're depending upon him, not upon ourselves. So if you've got your Bibles by now, it says, "Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer." Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer. Can you say that with all your being? Blessed be God because he has not turned away my prayer. Because that's the truth. You know, not a prayer goes unanswered by Almighty God. There's not a cry of his child that he's not aware of. Even if you're whimpering in a corner, he knows all about it because he cares for you. He said, neither your father nor your mother could care about you like I do. I don't know how many have been hurt by parents. I don't know how many children have hurt their parents. But I want to tell you, when you've been in your loneliness, and you've been in your sorrow, in your heartache, he has been listening to your prayers.
Satan will come along and bluff you. He'll lie saying he doesn't care. He's not interested in you. I want to tell you, every area of your life is important to our God. He cares about what you eat and what you drink and what you wear, because that is a God we serve. He's made provision for every one of our needs. And that's what you keep in mind now. It says, blessed be God, which had not turned away my prayer. And I like the second half. It says, nor his mercy from me. Look, there's nothing you can do to deserve salvation. There's nothing you can do to earn a miracle. What do? You just put your trust in the Lord. I'm asking you this morning not to reach out in faith. I'm asking you to reach out in trust to our God. Because sometimes you have a little faith, you have great faith, or like some of us, have absolutely no faith. Don't worry about it. It's not dependent upon you, upon your faith. It's dependent upon your confidence and trust in Almighty God. You can trust the Lord because His word is never changed. You know, I was reading this morning and I was so encouraged because Joshua, it says, Joshua is having a battle on hand. And he spoke to the Lord. Look at it, Joshua chapter 10 verse chapter 10 verse 12 and 13. It says, and Joshua spake to the Lord. Excellent. That's the way we get our miracles. What do? Speak to our God. Look, folks, I want to tell you, you may have the most desperate situation. Unless you speak to Him and explain it to Him, you're not going to get an answer because you've got to call help. I want to tell you, the louder you can shout, He is listening. He's listening. Okay, I can make a big noise. But so Joshua, he speaks to the Lord. Then he turns around and he does this, the strangest of strange things. I think Joshua's gone out of his mind, says me. You know why? He looks at the sun. He says, sun, you stand there. Moon, you stand there. Read the record. Joshua chapter 10, 12 and 13. And it says, the moon stood still. The sun stood still for how long? 24 hours. Now, he spoke a simple word. What did he say? Son, you be there. First, he spoke to his God. Look, folks, always make sure you start off with prayer. Start off with consulting your God. Okay, and then he spoke to the sun and the moon. And you know something? The whole world didn't crash. The whole universe didn't collapse on him. Why? Because when you speak the word of God, the whole of universe will stand still without any catastrophe happening. Don't care what happens in your life, folks. Your God is with you. Now, we will all say, oh, if Jesus were here, He'd do this, He'll do that. Look, if you really believe what my Jesus said, then He's here right now to do what He could do when He did when He was walking as a human being. Because now He's left us men and women as His ambassadors. What's an ambassador? An ambassador will speak on behalf of his country. I am here to speak on behalf of the heavenly kingdom of our God, which is always a kingdom with power. It is with glory. Because our God is the great and the mighty creator God. He says, if there's no way, boys, I'll make a way for you. Come on, folks. 6 million people, and He fed them every day with meat and manna for 40 years. You know, they had thousands of cattle. They had thousands of sheep. They didn't have to slaughter one of them because their God was their supply. My brothers, my sisters, whatever your need is, whether it's food or drink or a miracle or healing, He can supply your need. Blessed be God, which had not turned away. What? Pardon? My prayer. What is prayer? It's a request. He said in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be careful, don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What a request. Make it known to God. Tell Him what you're asking. You know why? Don't say, you provide everything, Lord. Tell Him, I want this, I want this, I want this. And then you know, when you get this and you get that and get the other, you're not talking into the air. Because your God is listening and hearing and answering. And if He has to turn the world upside down, He will for His children. That's our God, folks. Blessed be He who has not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy. You know, sometimes we willfully, knowingly do something dumb. And He can still forgive you. I'm not advocating you go and willfully, knowingly do something dumb. But I'm saying if by chance you happen to do it, our God is able to forgive and to heal and to transform every situation for His glory. He says, He's not taken away His mercy from me. Don't let any satanic force or any person say that your salvation is gone. Because my Jesus said, John chapter 10, verse 27 to 27 onwards, it says, my sheep, am I? No. Oh, yeah, wait on. It says, I better quote, better not misquote or somebody will tear me to ribbons after I finished. Okay, here we go. John chapter 10, 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice. I love that. So when I bellow, Lord Jesus, immediately lines open. She's not engaged. There's no answering machine for me. I am automatically connected to Almighty God. I have a hotline. Every one of us have that same hotline. If you can believe, all things are possible, said my Jesus. And here He says, my sheep hear my voice. And better than the hearing my voice, you know what it is? He knows me. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. No one else may know you in this fellowship. No one else may know you on the streets. But He knows you not by sight, but He knows you personally. He knows you by name. If you've got a pet name, He'll call you by your pet name also. You know, this is our God. He says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life. I don't find any scripture which says, I take it away from you. Right? I want to tell you folks, if any of your kids ever made a commitment to Jesus Christ 30, 40 years ago, and they're wandering in the wilderness, there is hope for them. Because He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. And I give unto them, what? Eternal life. Maybe they're in the pigspen eating junk. He will call them back to Himself. I want to tell you, His voice is so powerful that when one fellow was buried for 4 days and his own sister said, he stinks, he said, open it up. Open it up. And he called. What did he call? He said, Lazarus, come forth. And I want to tell you, wherever your kids are wandering, my Master can send forth His Holy Spirit, and when they hear His voice, they will be resurrected. He didn't say anywhere, I'll take away their salvation from them. Look, my brothers, my sisters, if you're born again, you are saved for eternity. You may be backslidden, but you're saved for eternity. You can repent any time, and you still remain a son. He has not divorced you. You are His son, because He said so. And I want to tell you, my God has never changed His mind. He will hear the cry of His people. You know, a few years ago, we used to have a little prayer meeting in Jacob and Wendy's house. Some of you all will remember Jacob and Wendy. Very old couple. And we went in there one day. I don't know if John and Dorothy were there or Marie were there. Went in over there and Wendy started sobbing her heart out. I said, what's wrong with you, my sister? She says, oh, my granddaughter, she's got a one of these diving boats over in the Red Sea. And she's in tow with this Muslim fella. And you know 9/11? That's the time 9/11 happened. And all the tourists had stopped going to the Middle East. And they're having no business with their diving business. And she says, we told her, come home to Perth or come to our family in Holland. She's refusing. Pray, my girl. No praying. So I said, okay, that's not a problem. Let's pray. We just pray a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, look at Wendy's heartbroken condition. Would you please have mercy? Save that granddaughter. That was on a Friday. The next Friday when we met together, Wendy was all beaming. I said, what happened, Wendy? She says, oh, my granddaughter, she's come back to Perth. So what happened? Oh, well, a storm came up on the Red Sea, and a crew and her diving boat sunk, and her business is gone. She's come back here. And glory be to God, the next thing I heard that she gave her heart to the Lord and was baptized in that tank. That is the end result of what we pray for, folks. I want to tell you, time and space mean nothing to our God. He can reach out hundreds of kilometers, thousands of kilometers, and do more than you can ever dream of. I wouldn't have dreamt of destroying her business. I wouldn't have thought of almost drowning her. Nobody was drowned over there. But her soul was saved from hell. My sheep, hear my voice. When you cry out for your children, the Lord hears your voice. He knows your heart. And you know, he's not willing that any should perish. Okay, now let's go on a little further. I know them. They shall never perish. Isn't that a comfort and consolation? You know, so many of us, I mean, I've not come across one single believer who doesn't have some person who's close to their heart who's not going down the wrong track. And regardless of their advice, regardless of their warnings, they still go on. But there's hope. Because when they don't listen, your God can step in miraculously and help them. He says, they shall never perish. So if you know, as a kid, they gave their hearts to the Lord, that's good enough. That's good enough for me to look forward to seeing them in glory, because my God cannot change his word to suit any of our circumstances. His word will remain forever. Now he goes on to say, he says, my Father which gave them is greater than all, and no man is able to what? Pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So there's your double insurance, folks. No one can pluck them out. They may wander off like the prodigal son, but the mercy of the Lord will reach out to them. He says, I can save if you will call. Now, I want to go on to the other half of my message this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Now I want to ask you, how can you change into the image unless you look into a mirror? There's no other mirror for humanity other than the Word of God. I like what one old preacher said many years ago. He says, this is a handbook from heaven for life on earth. And this is a mirror for you, folks. It says, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Now, my brothers, my sisters, I am looking forward to be transformed into the very image of Jesus Christ. He says over here, he says, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, folks, when we talk about the glory of the Lord, I don't know if there's anyone here who does not think of Moses on Mount Sinai. Is that right? Yes. You get overawed. Why? Thunder, lightning, fire. Mighty winds, rocks breaking, the mountain itself shaking. But that glory was to be done away with, says Paul. Okay, it's amazing. It's amazing. I was so shocked because, you know, I look forward to such great and mighty things happening in my life. But I want to show you a little bit more. It says in Exodus chapter 34, it says, Moses said to the Lord, Lord, show me your glory. To flick my Bible fast because I don't have someone with the overheads there. Exodus Exodus 33 verse 18, he says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And you know, when you talk about glory, you get that fancy feeling of some sort of
amber lights and some sort of supernatural thing. But my Bible says the Lord's answer to Moses was, I will make all my goodness to pass before you. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Because sometimes we say, show me your glory, show me your glory. And we think of bright lights or whatever. No, no. He says, I'll show you my goodness. And folks, there's not one of you sitting here who could say, I have not experienced the goodness of God. That is the glory of God. Now look, he says over here, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Ah, what is the name of the Lord? Straight away, you must think of Philippians chapter 2. It says, what? He's given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he's Lord to the glory of God. Is that right? Philippians 2, 9, 10, and 11. Now, I want to tell you, folks, that name is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what it is. And it says, it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, verse 22 of this Exodus 33. I'll put thee in a cliff to the rock, will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And then I want to read in 34 verse 6. It says, the Lord passed by, proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Listen, my brothers, this is the glory of God when he can forgive you. Because I want to tell you, you can go to 1,001 psychologists or psychiatrists, whoever it is, to try and take the hurt out of your heart. Nothing works. You can pay all your thousands of dollars. It will not work. But I want to tell you, Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Look, folks, if you want a cleansed conscience, repent in the presence of Jesus Christ. Apply that blood of Jesus right now. Let his power flow through you and see the change which will come upon you. Now, it says over here that when Moses spent time with the Lord, what's the most outstanding feature about that encounter? My Bible says, when he came down, he didn't know it, but the face of his skin was radiant. How radiant? My Bible says it was blinding. Because, let me see. Okay, and I'm just looking for that scripture. It says that even the face, all right, it's chapter 34, verse 30 of Exodus. It says, and when Aaron, all the children of Israel, saw Moses, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh to him. Think of that. He spent 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of Almighty God, and the very skin of his face began to shine. I believe that is another aspect of the glory of God. If you're spending time with Jesus Christ, there is a radiance in you. There is a difference. Because at this experience, the Lord said to Moses in the same book, he says, Moses, I'll show you my glory, but I'll do a terrible thing to you. Are you prepared for that, or you just want the glory? There's a cost attached to it. Folks, I believe that the reason why I got hit with the kidney failure, you know something? Sometimes you get it in a series. You know, you start with one, two, three. You know how I got hit? One smash, stage five. You know something? When the doctor looks in your face and tells you, I'm going to do a treatment on you now. I'm putting calcium through your body. And if your heart can't stand it, who's the best person to switch off the life support for you? One minute you're healthy, next minute you have a sentence of death. Who cares about it? I cried out, Lord, have mercy. And I went into that place expecting mercy from the Lord. Did you get a miracle? I don't know about did I get a miracle or not, but I'm still alive. And I want to tell you, with the right kidney completely dead and the left kidney only performing at 6%, I sure look like I'm dead. I mean, last year, I went to Professor Mark Thomas. He's the big boy at Royal Perth Hospital. And he looked at me. He says, "You don't want dialysis?" I said, "No." "You don't want a kidney transplant?" I said, "No, give another young chap a chance at life. I've lived a long life. I'm ready to go." And he says, "Okay, the third option is voluntary assisted dying. So I must be terminally ill. What do you think?" Do you think a professor of medicine who's the consultant at the kidney place over there in Perth doesn't know what he's talking about? But my brothers, my sisters, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to me in my hospital bed and he said, "I've come to give you life more abundantly. And I'm sure you all will all testify, I suddenly don't look like I'm terminally ill." But my brothers, my sisters, the word of God is spirit and is life. When you hear from the master, something happens in your body. Kidney failure or no kidney failure, I can still preach the gospel. And folks, if you're ready to get a miracle, I will pray for you this morning. You will get a miracle because our God has never changed. It's not me. It's him. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about Almighty God who steps into impossible situations. This is the God I want you to expect to answer your prayers. Sometimes you'll go through the ritual of mumbo jumbo asking, not believing for 1 minute you're going to get an answer. But folks, I want to challenge you to pray this morning, believe that you're going to get an answer. Because our God is not like some of us who totally ignore. Have you ever ignored a call? I tell my kids, my grandson, "Don't answer the phone. I don't know that number. Let it ring out." My God's not like that. He says, "Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved." Now see, we're looking at this. Now Moses, spending time in the presence of Almighty God, what happened to him? His face was transfigured. Is that correct? You'll agree with me. Okay. Now if I take you over into Mark chapter 9, you will find something similar happened with a man called Jesus Christ. You know the Mount of Transfiguration? If you read in Mark chapter 9, you will find that while he prayed, what happened? His whole being began to radiate the glory of God. Let's have a look at that. Mark chapter 9, verse 3, and it says, "His raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses." You know, if you can understand that expression, the hair on my hands stood up at reading that. Two fellas who were dead. Do you know that? Oh, sorry, corrected. I have to make a correction. There's one fellow by the name of Elijah. Is that right? Yes, Elijah. Now, Elijah, if you look at 1 Kings 19, it says he had just slaughtered those 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the groves or whatever it is. And Jezebel sent him a message. "Hey, boy, tomorrow you'll be like them." And you know, the great prophet, what did he do? He went running. You can go home and read it. He sat down under the bush. "Better for me to die." Have you read that, David? Yes. You've read that. Where he sat under the bush and he said, "Lord, it were better for me to die than to be alive." He didn't know God's plan for him. You know what was God's plan for him? Never die. I don't know if you folks have come to that situation where I wish I could die. Don't give up. That could be the greatest, glorious moment for you. Because here was this man, he never died. And here this man who never died suddenly appears a few, maybe 1,000 years later. And with him, another great man of God who died and was buried. A chap by the name of Moses. So I want to tell you, the kingdom of God that we're in. Right now that lady Wendy I was telling you about and her husband Jacob, they're very, very much alive in the glory of God. And as soon as I get there, they'll say, "Hi, John, whoa." You know, Jacob and Wendy were very, very loving people. They'd be bubbly just to meet with us again. Folks, that's what we're looking forward to. Death is nothing. Okay, and here there was two fellas transformed. Now, if you could just get up that Proverbs, Job chapter 30, verse 23. Have a look at that. So don't get too worried. I got some time. Have we got it up or not yet? Job chapter 30, verse 23. I'm looking at Psalms and wondering why I can't see what I'm looking at. Job chapter 30, verse 23 says, "For I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living." Any of you all know you're not going to die? I'm so happy to tell you, when the doctor told me, he says, "This is a precipice, you're at the very edge of it." That was 2 years ago. I'm still alive by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, by the power of my Jesus. Because he said, "Son, you haven't yet finished your work. Go stir them up a little more." He says over here, he says, "I know that you will bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living." Do you know, every one of us, if Jesus Christ doesn't come today, will die sometime. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, after that the judgment." Thank God I'm escaping the judgment. Oh, why? I'm cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You've been a rascal? Yes. You've been a ratbag? Name it, I've been it. I've done it. But my God has forgiven me. Don't any of y'all hold that against me. It's forgiven. It's covered by the blood. Every one of us can confess that. We can look forward to the miraculous power of our God. Now, here was Jesus. I was in Mark chapter 9. Now, I would like us to go a little further in that same Mark 9. Because verse 15 says, "And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him." Why? There was the glory of the Lord radiating. Now, come quickly with me. Acts chapter 6. You know the story of Acts chapter 6. Poor old Stephen. He was hauled up before the Sanhedrin. And what happened? They condemned him to death. Acts chapter 6 verse 8, it says, "Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among them. Then there rose certain of the synagogue, disputing with Stephen. End result, they decided they're going to stone him to death." Verse 15, I want you to look at. "All that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face at his being the face," what? "Of an angel." Isn't that interesting? Because he'd spent time with Jesus Christ. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was going about doing the work of the Lord. Now, in my human reasoning, I would have said, "Oh boy, keep him fired up, Lord. Send him down to Samaria. Send him everywhere else." The Lord says, "No. He served his purpose. Come home, son. Come home." He says over here, "All that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw as it had been the face of an angel." And you know, one of the enemies who did this to Stephen was a man called Saul. You know, the Bible says they laid their clothes at the man's feet. That man confessed in Acts chapter 22. "I, Saul, was there when he stoned him." So he saw a transformation in Mr. Stephen's face. All right? Because when you front up with the glory of God, something changes on the inside and transforms to the outside. Now, let me go a little further. And I'd like to go into the book of Revelation. Okay. Then I should be able to finish quickly. Okay. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. Think of this, what I'm saying now. It says, "There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven last plagues, and talked with me. Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. An angel. Am I clear about that? Is it an angel? Are we all agreed? We read he saw an angel. Okay? And this angel transported him, and he saw the bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. All right. Now come with me a little further on. Now, you're aware that who the fellow is who's talking this. It was the Apostle John. All right? The Bible tells me that he was the beloved disciple who leaned on Jesus' breast. So did he know who Jesus Christ was? Do you want me to give you the scripture from the book of John where it says that? Or you're quite happy with accepting my testimony? Okay. And so he leaned on Jesus' breast. So he knew the Lord Jesus intermittently. Now just think about it. Who was Jesus Christ? That's an important question everyone's got to answer. Either he was who he said he was, or he was a fake. And he said, I am the Son of God, even to Pilate. Right? He was declared to be the Son of God with power. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. Word was God. And the same became flesh and dwelt amongst men. So it's pretty clear it's Jesus Christ. And here John, who knew Jesus intimately, how close was that relationship? Very, very close. Okay, now think about it. When Moses met Almighty God, what's the first thing he told him to do? He said, don't come any closer, Moses. Get your shoes off your feet because you're standing on holy ground. Correct? Then he said over there, when he came down on the mountain, he said, nobody is to come or even touch this mountain. What? No one, not even an animal, is to touch that mountain. If they did, they would die. Is that right? So only person who went up there was Mr. Moses. Now see the transformation of the new covenant. John the Beloved with Jesus Christ. You couldn't get closer than leaning against him and asking him questions. Okay? Now, he knew Jesus Christ. He's the same one when he saw him at the seashore after his resurrection. He said, Peter, it's the Master. Do you remember that when they were fishing all night and caught nothing? He said, it's the Master. John recognized him. Okay? Now, the same John has an angel take him and lead him around. We'll agree. He's one of the angels which had the seven last plagues. Is that correct? I'm not adding to the scriptures. I'm not destroying it. Is that what it says? He says he had one of the seven vials of the seven last plagues. He talked with me. Come with me. John chapter 22 verse 8. I mean Revelation 22, 8. What am I talking rubbish? He said, I, John, saw these things. I heard them. When I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Am I reading right? John, who knew Jesus Christ personally, fell down at the angel's feet to worship. Now, no self-respecting Jew would worship anyone except Almighty God. So how convinced was John that this was Jesus? Okay, read a little further. Then he said to me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Do you realize what I'm trying to say to you this morning? It looked like an angel to John, so much so it looked like Jesus Christ to John, but it was what? It was an angel of God. Sorry. Pardon, forgive me. It says, I am your fellow servant. No angel is called a fellow servant. He says, I'm of your brethren, the prophets. The angels are not prophets. He says, them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. The book of life was not given to the angels. They're a different caliber of beings. The book of life is pertaining to humanity. So I see over here a transformation according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. Looking into the image of Almighty God, you are being transformed. Do I look like an angel? No, sir. But I want to tell you, Paul in Hebrews also teaches that don't be forgetful to entertain strangers, because sometimes you have entertained angels. True or false? True. I want to tell you, you know, one day we were preaching out in one of the southern states of India, very, very anti-Christian. And when you're out in the villages, I want to tell you, you never know whether you're coming back or not. So we preached our heart out. The Lord did signs and wonders and miracles. And we were having dinner in one of the restaurants. And there was a mob outside. I tell you, when a mob starts howling, kill him, kill him, we don't want Christians over here. Very, very hard to have your dinner. Because, you know, the minute you step out, these fellas are waiting to finish you off. Because mob violence, I'm telling you, they are unreasonable. You can't talk to them. They'll hit you, they'll kick you, they'll slap you, they'll spit on you. It's just how humanity is depraved when it doesn't belong to Jesus Christ. So there's this ruckus going on over there. And suddenly a man walked in, bully fella, with, you know, they call it a half lungi. That's a thing they fold up around so they can run. And he had bristling moustache, and he goes up to that fellow who owns at the cashier counter, you know, the owner. He says, who are these people? He says, oh, they're the wallahs who have been preaching. Good things have been happening. Who are those outside? Oh, I can hear them. He says, tell them, if they don't clear the street in 5 minutes, I'll arrest every one of them. And you know something? Nobody questioned his authority, and the crowd just disappeared. So, next morning, we're so grateful, we go to the nearest police station and we describe this man, say, who is that inspector who came? Never heard of such a person. Never heard of such a person. And I would dare to say, it had to be an angel of the Lord. But he looked so human. He didn't have wings, he didn't have a halo. And those fellows saw his mustache and his authority, authoritative bearing, they disappeared. Folks, I want to tell you, we can be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And we don't care what the sickness or the problem or the trouble is that is surrounding us. Because our God is with us, not as a spectator, but he's our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. Remember, my God has not ignored my prayer. He is listening to it. He will hear. He will answer. If you can call out to him, trust him and his word, you will get your miracle. If you've never put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a good day to get right with him. If you haven't made a 100% total commitment, time you got ready. Because I shared that scripture in Job. Death is definite in your life one of these days. Are you prepared to face eternity? If you'd like to make that commitment, go ahead and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm committing myself once more 100%. If you have any needs for prayer, we'd be more than happy to lay hands on you, because the presence of Jesus Christ is here to change you into his very image. May God bless you.
Has God touched you this morning with that message? Have you had your antenna up? Have you heard God this morning? You'd have to be deaf not to have. God has spoken to us. I believe we all need prayer. I believe that if you think you've arrived, you've nowhere else to go. None of us are truly arrived. We are being transformed by the renewal of our mind. Sanctification is taking place. But until that day, will always need some refining, a refining fire to make pure gold. That message this morning is resonating so deeply of my need. So I'm going to ask John to pray a prayer for all of us. Would you bow your head, please?
Father, I just lift up all of us to you, Lord. Every one of us have a desperate need. Would you please hear from your holy habitation? Please hear our cry, Lord. Grant us our petitions. Show forth a strong and mighty arm that able to heal and redeem and sanctify and cleanse and renew. Oh, my God, give us, each one of us, our miracles. Draw us ever closer to yourself. Transform us, Lord, that we might be so Christ-like that people will be amazed that we have spent time with Jesus Christ. Hear us, help us, send us help from your sanctuary. In Jesus' name we pray.